Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello everybody, this is Jay, back with another episode of the GSMC Technology Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. So we got a few pretty interesting things to talk about this episode, so let's just get started right now, shall we? So Capsicum is a new app, and here's a lot of information about it. More information than you may want to know about it, but there's lots of information here, so let's just begin. So calendaring and note-taking apps have never really filled the void left behind when we moved away from our old paper-based daily planners to digital devices. But a newly launched iOS app called Capsicum may help to change that. Like real-world daily planners from years ago, Capsicum lets you not only track your events and to-dos, it also offers a place to track other things not tied to a specific date and time. Like your larger, longer-term goals, journal entries, and even your daily habits, like whether you made it to the gym or remember to take your vitamins. The idea for the app comes from U.S. software engineer Ish Shabazz, who was featured in the 2017 documentary App: The Human Story, and Australian designer Heidi Helen Pilipas. Both love beautiful planners and iOS apps, so around 3 years ago, they decided to work on a project that has now become Capsicum. The app's name refers to a bell pepper, which is why it's in the logo. However, the name was chosen because the Latin root capsa means box, and the app uses individual boxes, components, throughout its design for things like the weather, your events, to-dos, and more. This feels like a more natural way to plan things, in some cases, especially for writing down things that don't have an exact time, like a reminder to make a doctor appointment or return your library books, for example. But you still need to slot those in around other events, like meetings or scheduled calls. Calendaring apps don't have this sort of flexibility, which means we today turn to other apps, like to-do lists, Apple's Notes, or Reminders. Capsicum, on the other hand, lets all these to-dos coexist in one place. Plus, you can sync Capsicum with Apple's calendars so you won't miss your scheduled events. As you complete your daily to-dos, you can check them off just as you could a list in Apple's Notes. However, if you don't get them done, they can be moved over to another day. Another section of the Daily Planner lets you jot down free-form notes. This can be used for journaling or just writing down other things you need to remember, like your thoughts, moods, or health concerns, perhaps. The app's center tab allows you to get a better handle on your habits. This is particularly a handy feature for anyone with a list of New Year's resolutions in search of a tracking app. Here, you can log when you complete a habit, like working out, hydrating, reading, etc., which you can do with a tap or a Siri shortcut. You can also add notes to your habits and look back at patterns over time to see if you're meeting your goals. The other main tab in the app is Loose Leaf, which offers a larger page than the one in the Daily Planner's notes section for writing long-form journal entries or anything else you want to remember. This can be a place for personal writing or a place to make lists that don't belong on a particular day, like your bucket list, travel ideas, redecorating plans, or others that aren't immediate to-dos. In time, the team says the Loose Leaf section will also include a sketch pad, too. Capsicum can be personalized with beautiful covers, decorative tapes, and headings to match your style to make it feel like your own notebook and not just a generic app. And you can create more than one notebook in the app, in case you want to maintain separate notebooks by year or for work and personal life, for instance. The app is well designed and feels like it fits somewhere in between the simplicity of jotting down an item in Notepad and the structure of adding events in Calendar. That said, it's still hard to abandon a history of notes and reminders from other apps, which makes it hard to switch. Plus, the search feature is a time travel option where you have to put in a date, which means you may not want to use it for things you need to pull up by keyword. Capsicum is a subscription-based app, offered at either $1.99 per month or $20 per year. The app provides a 14-day trial, but unlike all other subscription apps, it doesn't immediately begin charging you when the trial ends. If you decide you want to continue with Capsicum, you can choose to subscribe anytime. So, yeah, this was an app that was, this sounds interesting. I'm curious. But I don't know. Like, for me, I don't really use, like, planners anyway. I just don't. Maybe I should. It might not be a crazy idea. You know, as my life would get busier and more complex and, you know, I become more of an adult, it might be necessary to do things like this. It really might. Like, hey, you know what? I might want to, you know, try out something like this. I don't really like where it's a subscription app. I'm like, I don't know if I want to pay money when there are probably other apps out there that do something similar to this that don't cost me a penny. They just don't. So that kind of turns me off from it a little bit. But it does sound like you can do a lot of stuff with this app. It's also a little strange to me. It sounds like this app is only available on iOS right now. So it sounds like if you don't have an Apple device or an Apple phone, you can't download this app. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what the article sounded like to me. I'm like, okay, so if I don't have any Apple anything. So this is an app I can't use right now. It's just the way it is, which is kind of a bummer, kind of a letdown. But I don't know. I think that if, you know, you have a busy enough lifestyle, enough things going on, and maybe you just want to plan ahead and kind of like, you know, set goals for yourself, Capsicum is probably a good app to do that. And I will admit this, I do like the 14-day trial where, you know what, you can try it for 14 days. If you don't like it, then don't go, up. Oh, we're going to take your money now, because so many things online do that. And you have to keep an eye for it. I've done it, like, done, like, trials and stuff before, and if I hadn't caught, oh, by the way, after the trial, we charge you $60, I would have been out a lot of money. And even then, when you catch it, they don't really make it easy to, you know, get out of it either. They just don't. They're like, no, we want your money. Give us your money. You're like, no, money needs to go to other places. So I don't know. I do like that, where, you know what, if you're like, hey, you don't like it, no biggie. They don't care. They're not going to try to, like, you know, take your money from, like, hey, if you don't like it, it's not for you. That's okay. We're cool with that. We understand. We're all right. So I do enjoy that. And like I said, if you're someone who, you know, has used previous apps and maybe you're just not happy with them, this may be an app for you. This may be one you want to try out. This may be one that'll interest you. And you know what? You may have lots of uses for said app. Maybe, you know, if you have like a bunch of things going on, like, you know, you're doing this and that and here and there and everywhere, maybe this is a good app. I don't know. I think for me, I'm not a super big app person anyway, usually. Like, I use stuff like Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest, Instagram, like, you know, email, things like that. Because I'm like, it's nice to check that stuff on my phone, not to get home and go, hey, I have 80 emails. No, I had 5 emails here, 10 emails there. So I like those apps. But they're also simple to use apps. And I'm not going to lie, for me, it took a minute to use them anyway. But I believe this app is available now, so if you are like, hey, I do have an Apple device, and man, I can't wait to use this, you're able to use it. And check, I don't quote me this, but it might be available on Android too. I just didn't see it say that in the article. That doesn't mean it isn't. It just means I may not have caught it for whatever reason. It's a total possibility. Yeah, but it sounds like it might be an interesting app, and who knows, maybe over time I might end up using it. You never know. I just kind of wish they'd do either a free version that doesn't do as much, like a simpler version or something like that, because it sounds like to me with all the stuff going on in this app, I'd probably get confused and unable to figure out how to do a bunch of the stuff anyway. That's just how I think it would be for me, knowing, you know, where my technical prowess is and how far it goes, just the reality. But yeah, overall, it does a lot. It covers a lot. There's a lot you can do on it, and that's not always a bad thing. Anyways, we're going to take ourselves a short little break real quick, and we'll be back in a moment with more technology news.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Hello, everybody. This is Jay back with some more technology news. So this next one, I don't really understand. It kind of made me scratch my head and made my, like, you know, make me just wonder, okay, why? I don't understand. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but it is technology, and you know what? It's definitely interesting technology, and who knows? Maybe there's implications here for this that I'm just not catching up on or catching on. It may be a possibility. Because if you've listened to this podcast and you know, some of the other podcasts I've been on, I do enjoy my movies. I really do. I like watching movies. I like getting to review them. I watch a lot of different movies, some good, some not so good. It's just the way it goes. But I enjoy films. I watch my fair share of films every year. I really do. And I am okay with saying that. I enjoy doing that. But that in mind, here's the device that I'm going to tell you a little about right now. And maybe some people could enjoy this for parties or something like that. I don't know. But anyways, so this is called the Very Slow Movie Player. It seems someone took every frame of painting literally. The Very Slow Movie Player is a device that turns cinema into wallpaper, advancing the image by a single second every hour. The result is an interesting household object that makes something new of even the most familiar film. The idea occurred to designer and engineer Brian Boyer during one of those times we all have. We are sitting at home thinking of ways to celebrate slowness. The Very Slow Movie Player is an e-paper display attached to a Raspberry Pi board. You load a movie onto the latter, and it processes and displays a single frame at a time, updating the screen with a new one every 2.5 minutes. That adds up to 24 frames per hour, as opposed to the usual 24 frames per second, 3,600 times slower than normal viewing, and producing perhaps 7,000 or 8,000 tableau you view over the course of a year or so. He compares it to the work of Bill Viola, whose super slow motion portraits are similarly impossible to watch from start to finish, unless you're very, very patient, and therefore exist in a sort of limbo between motion picture and still image. The image itself leaves something to be desired, of course. E-paper is essentially one-bit color depth, black and white. So the subtleties of color you might see in any film, color or not, will be lost to dithering. The way it's done helps highlight the contrasts and zones of a scene. Though if you really want to appreciate Rear Window as cinema, you can watch it anytime you like. But if you want to appreciate it as a process, as a relationship with time, as an object an image that exists in the context of the rest of the world and your life, for that, you have the very slow movie player. Oh boy, so where do I begin with this one? I don't understand this technology at all. Frankly, it would drive me nuts. It could be my most favorite movie that I've watched hundreds of times. I can't think of any reason or any time why I would want to watch said movie in slow motion in black and white. I don't know why I would do that. I don't know why I would have that in the background, because I'm sure it'd be an okay conversation piece. Oh, why do you have, like, what's this? You know, oh yes, it's my very slow movie player. Oh, okay, what is that? Well, you can put a movie into this, you know, and just, it plays it like frame by frame. It plays 24 frames a day instead of 24 frames a second. Okay, why do you have that for? I don't know. That's at least how it would go with me and my friends. Be like, I don't know why I have this. I got it for free. I don't know. That, because, like, it doesn't say the cost of this, but I don't know. This is truly one of the weirder technologies I've seen in a while. That's for sure. It really is. It's one of those technologies like, okay, someone made this. Why? I don't understand. Why? Why would you be like, you know what we need to do? We need to make a device that plays movies really, really slow. No, we don't. Why would we want to do that? What's the point in doing that? What's the reasoning in doing that? Why would people want to buy that or own that or have that in their house? Why would they want to do that? I don't understand. Like me as a consumer, or even me if I were an inventor, I would think there'd be better things to invent than something like this. I don't understand. I mean, even for like a Christmas classic, which I know Christmas is over, but I'm just using this as an example. Like, say, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I would not want to watch that movie at that slow of a pace. I just wouldn't want to do it. I'm like, it would drive me nuts. I'm like, no, I want to watch this movie, you know, right now, the way it's supposed to be watched. You know, that's just what I want to do. Maybe it's just because I don't have as much patience as I like to have sometimes. Maybe you'd have to be a very, very patient person, or had to have watched a movie so much that you would like to display it this way. Maybe. I don't know. Like the film fan I am, and the, you know, maybe cinephile is the right term, like just how much I enjoy films and watching them and things like that. I just can't think of any film I would want to, you know, subject people to this way. I don't know. Like Logan, I could think. I know Mad Max Fury Road. No, I just, man. I just, this is really one of the scenarios I'm like, I can't wrap my head around. Why is this made? Why did someone make this? Why did they think this was a good idea? I just, my brain is like, I don't understand. It's like, what's the point of this? What's the reason for this? I mean, how many people would even actually get something like this? Like, even if it were a short film that's only, let's say, I don't know, 40, 50 minutes, we're looking at months and months and months before you actually get through it. It's like, why? I don't know. Like, if you have that much time, good for you. And I mean that. Bravo, bravo. If you have the time to watch, to have a film play out this slowly, good for you. And if you have the patience, I mean that. Hooray for you. I mean that. I do not. No. I don't know if I'll ever have patience at that level where, oh yeah, I'll totally put this on and just have it in the background, have it play frame by frame by frame, and it'll take over a year for it to play. Yeah. I don't see myself over being in that place. Maybe I'm wrong. I could totally be wrong. You know what? I don't know. I just know that if all the technology could be made, and all the things that have been made, and all the things that should be made, I don't see why this should have been made. I don't know. Like, the name itself, you're just like, very slow movie player. Okay. That's even like a name you're like, couldn't you come up with a better name? Like, tortoise movie player, or slug movie player, or Slug Player, I don't know, something like that. I mean, the name at first needs work, so I don't know. I just don't understand this, and I don't see myself ever owning this or putting this in, you know, any place I'll live ever. I just don't. But you know what? Maybe there is a market out there for it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just, you know, overreacting. Maybe my brain is just having too hard of a time wrapping itself around this idea. Maybe all those things are happening and more. It's a total possibility. I just know that when I saw this, I'm like, you know what? I am going to talk about this, but it's going to be more of what's going on here talking than, oh yeah, this is great. It makes sense and you should totally get it now. No. It's not that talking. But you know what? Like I said, I could be wrong. You know what? There could be more to it than I see. So that's just the way it is. So we're going to take ourselves another short little break. And we'll be back in a moment with more technology news.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay, back for some more technology news. So this last one, again, this is kind of another game series I haven't played in a while, but I do remember playing the originals. I definitely played Doom. I won't say I was good at Doom, but I definitely played it. I was better, you know, in the God mode because, well, you couldn't die. You know, you're running around killing all these monsters and demons and creatures. I actually played it on the on my computer, actually, if you can believe it. Yeah, I didn't actually play it on a console, although I want to say the game was re-released on consoles. I want to say that's true. I want to say I even might have played Doom 2 a little bit, but again, a little bit is the key word. I mean, it's something like, you know, usually I got my butt handed to me. It's like, oh, you are dead. Enjoy. It's like, it's not really enjoyable to me, but okay. And I want to say there was a God mode again where it's like, okay, now I can, you know, pay back and, you know, kill things and ha ha ha. You know, it was fun. And it's a series that I think with re-releases and, oh, 2 years ago it looks like a new game came out that I have not played, but I'd imagine it's good and fun and exciting, was Doom. So I don't know much about the one that came out a few years ago. I want to say it probably went on PlayStation, Xbox, and maybe Switch. I'm not sure, to be honest. But I do know that, again, at E3 this summer, I saw a little bit of footage for this game, and I was like, man, this game looks awesome. It looks really, really good. Again, the special effects are just, they're top-notch. They're absolutely amazing. It's another game where it's like, it looks like taking the series to new heights, and it looks like, again, another game where the threat is really, really serious. So let's just get into what I have heard about this game. So it is, of course, the direct sequel to the award-winning and best-selling Doom in 2016. You can experience the ultimate combination of speed and power as you rip and tear your way across dimensions with the next leap in push-forward first-person combat. Powered by ID Tech 7 and set to an all-new pulse-pounding soundtrack composed by Mike Gordon, Doom Eternal puts you in control of the unstoppable Doom Slayer as you blow apart new and classic demons with powerful weapons in unbelievable and never-before-seen worlds. Unleash the overwhelming power of the Doomslayer with updated armor and an arsenal of new and improved equipment, including a shoulder-mounted cannon with flamethrower, extendable blade, and a new dash ability. You're faster and deadlier than ever. Destroy every demon in your path with an upgraded array of guns and mods, including the Super Shotgun's new meat hook attachment to pull yourself point blank with the faces of hell. Obliterate more demons than ever before, each with their own attacks and abilities. Fan favorite classics such as the Pain Elemental Arkvile, and Arachnatron make their return, while a horde of totally new demons join the roster, including the Doom Hunter and Corrupted Marauders. Doom Eternal's destructible demon system takes your power fantasy to new levels by ensuring that every trigger pull has never felt better. As the Slayer, allow real players to invade your campaign as demons for a dramatic and unpredictable twist anytime you're playing the campaign. Or join the ranks of the damned yourself as you become a demon and invade a friend or other player's campaign. Invade others either by yourself or with another player as part of a hunting party to give the Slayer a true taste of hell. Rip and tear across epic, never-before-seen worlds. Witness the tumbling skyscrapers of hell on Earth. Battle through an invasion of the mammoth BFG 10,000 on Phobos, and discover the ancient secrets of the Doom universe. Every environment is brought to life in unprecedented detail. So, man, I have to say, this game really sounds amazing. It really does. And I'm like, it's kind of interesting, really. It's one of those things you're like, you know, because originally it came out on computers. And I remember there was just one and two. And I don't know if there was a new game until, I guess, 2 years ago. And I must have somehow missed it. I don't know. Maybe it was just on Xbox. And to be fair, I don't play Xbox much. It's just the truth. It's nothing against Xbox. I just don't play it much. It's just the way it is. So there's a total possibility that somehow I just might have missed it. It might have, like, you know, gone by my radar. It's a total possibility. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be amazed. It just could have somehow happened. It's totally possible. But, yeah, this game sounds absolutely amazing. Now, of course, this should go without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Doom Eternal, probably not for little kids. No, probably not. This is fair to say, I think. One of those games is going to be violence, 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 blood and gore, and more blood and gore and violence. Just the way it's going to be. You know, and that's kind of always been the way the series has been, to be fair. You know, but I'm going to say that anyway. Sadly, I did not find a release game for this yet. Sadly. It's kind of a bummer, because I'm like, man, I would kind of like to know what it is. But at the same time, that may mean they're still working on it and fine-tuning it and making sure it's a game that fans will really appreciate and love and want to play again and again, right? So that's not a bad thing. And yeah, it sounds like, because I don't remember if in the first two games if it was a Slayer or just a regular human. I can't remember. I don't know. And I wonder if this one has the same, like, you know, where you can just, like, look dead ahead and you're just holding the gun, or if you can do three, like, a third person. I wonder. I think it'd be kind of weird if it did third person, to be fair, but who knows? It might have it. Just as long as it's better than that, you know, Doom movie, which I'm sorry I had to bring that up, but ugh. That's a whole other thing entirely. But yeah, I think this game is going to be absolutely amazing. And this, again, may be a game that draws me back to the series. Like, hey, you haven't played Doom in a while? Come and try this one out. Or better yet, play the other Doom first, so you know, like, because if this is a sequel to it, it might not be a bad idea to play the game before it. You'll understand, okay, this is what happened in the last one, and that's where this one is at and coming from and all that. So it may not be a cuckoo crazy idea, just the true story. Yeah, and I'm going to guess there's going to be some good DLC as the game goes along after it gets released and stuff, which is never a bad thing, I don't think. And I believe Bethesda is behind this game, so like I said, I am pretty sure it's going to come out on Xbox. I would imagine it comes out on PlayStation and probably Steam. I don't know about the Nintendo Switch. I would think maybe, but I'm not sure about that one. But I would imagine that it would at least come out on PlayStation and Xbox, at least those two. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened because, you know, that to me makes sense. I'm like, it makes sense that, hey, you know what? That's going to go that way, and that's going to come out on there. I see that happening. I wouldn't be shocked with that happening. And you can bet that as I learn more about this game, I will gladly bring it to this podcast, you know, bring updates and things like that. And I think there's just the one video so far. I don't think there's any real gameplay online yet, but you can at least see a teaser and get a little basic idea where the game is and where it's going to go. So check that out on YouTube and keep eyes peeled and, you know, ears open for more updates as I learn about them. So that's all we have for this episode. I had a great time bringing it all to you. I hope you had a lot of fun listening to it. But don't worry, we'll be back real soon with more technology news. We'll be right back.